Hey science fans, it's Mrs. Corbett here and I'm going to teach my husband some GCSE science.
I am the husband.
Hi husband, today I'm going to be the catalyst for your learning.
Okay.
What's a catalyst?
It's a pet. It's like a domesticated feline.
No, that's a cat, you list.
A catalyst is something that increases the rate of reaction.
Good. Finish that sentence.
In a controlled environment.
No, without being...
Consumed.
Without being consumed in the reaction. Fantastic. Can you give me an example of a biological catalyst that we have studied before?
A biological catalyst that we have studied before is something like fire.
A biological catalyst, something in you, in your body right now.
Enzyme.
Correct. This is a link. Okay, this is a link between biology and chemistry.
Are they linked?
They are. And if you can use that linking, then that is called thinking hard, and it means you're more intelligent than the average human.
Thinking is linking, folks.
Thinking is linking. So catalysts, as you said, change the rate of a chemical reaction. They're not used up in the reaction.
Hang on. Sorry to interrupt you, Mrs. Corbett. You said a catalyst changes the rate of reaction, and I said increases the rate of a reaction. Does it always increase, or can it decrease?
There are some
it?
Clever ones, but for the sake of this increasing, thank
okay.
you for picking me up on
sorry,
that.
Sorry, I wasn't trying to pick buttons, I was just
That's
interested.
Great, it's good. It does, in fact, in the specification, say changes the rate of reaction.
Okay.
Because some of them can deliberately slow them down.
But does that still make it a catalyst then?
Yes.
Okay, so a catalyst changes the rate of a reaction.
Yeah, but for the sake of your exam, the ones that we look at nearly always increase it.
Okay, cool, sure.
So, increase the rate of reaction without being used up in the reaction. Specific reactions require specific catalysts. There isn't like one catalyst fits all.
Yeah.
In the same way that enzymes in your body have specific substrates that they fit, like amylase fits starch and breaks it down into glucose.
Yeah.
They're specific. That is called the lock and key hypothesis.
I remember.
Can you remember any names of any other of the enzymes we've done? There's amylase, ones that break down protein.
Protease.
Good. Fats.
Lipase.
Very good. Breaks down fat into fatty acids and glycerol. Very nice. So this very short episode is about how catalysts work. Okay. So catalysts work in two ways. We're only going to mention the one way that is on the specification.
Okay. Okay?
So catalysts increase the rate of reaction by providing an alternate pathway for the reaction that lowers the activation energy.
Yes, okay.
Okay. Now, do you remember when we did endo and exothermic reactions, we did enthalpy or energy profile diagrams?
Of course I do.
Do you remember this?
I've got one up on my wall, yeah.
Loser. So you remember we have a graph which has energy on the y-axis. It has like progress or time on the x-axis. And then you've got the energy that the reactants have. And then you've got the energy that the products have. And if it's an exothermic reaction, the products have less energy than the reactants.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've given it out to the surroundings. If it's endothermic, it takes in energy for the surroundings. The reactants will have more energy than the reactants. Now, all of those require a catalyst. All of those reactions require a catalyst. So photosynthesis is an endothermic reaction, which requires energy from the sun and a higher temperature. It requires energy going in to make the reaction happen, which is why we can't grow grass when it's cold.
Okay.
The amount of energy required for photosynthesis to happen or any reaction can be lowered if you include a catalyst. Okay, I'm not going to talk about photosynthesis anymore because that would be far too complicated because they're enzymes. So you have to know what an energy profile diagram looks like with and without a catalyst.
Okay.
Okay, so this is probably, if you're listening to this, is going to require some kind of visual. I'm just going to show husband right now a picture.
Folks, close your eyes.
Okay, can you see the graph?
Unless you're driving.
So this is an exothermic reaction because the products have got less energy than
the reactants. Yeah.
Okay, can you see with the catalyst?
I can. So
the sort of hump is lower than without a catalyst.
Yeah, so along as the time goes on, it's got reactant straight line, then the reaction happens and there's like a hump and then it drops down to the products. And I assume, and there are two lumps. There's one tall lump and one short lump.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume the tall lump is when the catalyst is introduced.
The bottom one, the lower hump, because it's less energy.
The small hump is the catalyst because
yeah,
it requires
energy.
Less energy. Oh, okay.
And from the reactants to the peak of that hump, that is the like the amount of activation energy.
Okay.
It's measured up the size in joules. Okay. So the spec says students should be able to identify catalysts in reactions from their effect on the rate of reaction. So if the rate increases, and also because they're not included in the rate equation.
Right.
Okay. So for example, hydrogen peroxide decomposes into oxygen and hydrogen, or oxygen and water. Sorry. I can speed that up by using manganese dioxide, but I don't include it in the rate equation because it doesn't actually, it doesn't get involved. It just lowers the activation energy.
Okay.
Okay, so the catalysts are never in the rate equation, never in the equation. If they are in the equation, they will be the same in the reactant side as the product side, and they won't have changed.
I see, and then it's pointless writing it down.
Yeah, yeah. They just cancel each other out.
Because if you did include it in the equation, that would mean it was like used up, in which case it's not a catalyst.
Yes.
Okay.
Just so you are aware, it does say in the spec, students should be able to explain catalytic action in terms of activation energy, which basically means if you mention catalyst, you have to mention activation energy.
Okay.
That's because on the old spec, it had the other way that catalysts work, is that they provide a surface on which the reactants react, which wasn't really a good definition. Students do not need to know the names of specific catalysts other than those that are specified on the subject content. So, for example, when we do cracking, nickel is a catalyst for cracking, so you need to know that one. But other than that, you're fine.
Cracking?
Cracking. It's coming up.
Okay, I'll look forward to it.
It does say also in the spec there is an opportunity to investigate the catalytic effect on the reaction of decomposition of hydrogen peroxide. That's the one that I mentioned. Another enzyme that breaks down hydrogen peroxide is called catalase, and they might have done the reaction where you've got a gas syringe measuring the amount of oxygen you produce, and we tried different sources of catalase. So you can get it in apple, potato and liver. So we give them those three, and they have to measure the rate of reaction to see which one contains the most catalyst.
Or cool.
The most catalase. But that's it for catalysts.
Sweet.
Say later.
Bye.